I really believe that the pagans and the abortionists and the feminists and the gays and the lesbians who are actively trying to make that an alternative lifestyle, I point the thing in their face and say, you helped this happen.
Falwell, in taking this stand, even though he's apologized for saying it, he really means it.
I call for him to do more than apologize. I hope that he'll repent.
I've been put down, kicked out, messed around, but they just can't keep me down.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Gay heroes and victims of the terrorist attack are remembered, while so-called men of faith blame God's wrath against progress, and queer jazz, blues, and grits from the audiophile. All that and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Brian Nunes.
And I'm Cindy Friedman.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending September 15th, 2001. Reporters worldwide this week focused almost exclusively on the disastrous crashes of four hijacked U.S. passenger planes, two of them toppling the World Trade Center in New York City, and a third cutting a swath through the Pentagon near Washington, D.C. The fourth crashed in rural Pennsylvania without injuring anyone on the ground, apparently because some passengers fought back and prevented the hijackers from reaching their intended target, which may have been the White House or the U.S. Capitol building. Public relations executive Mark Bingham, who is very active in gay rugby and basketball leagues in San Francisco, may have been part of that heroic resistance. His mother is convinced that he was, and she spoke movingly on national television of his life and his final phone call to her from the plane. Pennsylvania's U.S. senators are looking into a possible posthumous Presidential Medal of Freedom, the nation's highest civilian honor, for those passengers and crew members whose actions may have saved many lives.
All aboard all four planes perished, and their names have been released. Open gays among them include First Officer David Charlebois of Washington, D.C., a member of the National Gay Pilots Association, couple Ronald Gamboa and Dan Brandhorst of Los Angeles and their adopted three-year-old son, National Geographic staffer Joe Ferguson of Washington, D.C., and Briton Graham Berkeley. While thousands may have died at the World Trade Center and hundreds at the Pentagon, so far only a few names have been published of those confirmed dead at those sites. Among them was openly gay New York Fire Department chaplain Michael Judge. Many notable gays and lesbians in New York City have been confirmed alive and physically unharmed. A number of gay and lesbian organizations with offices near the World Trade Center also went largely unscathed, although the Gay Financial Network website, GFN.com, was knocked offline. Travel problems resulting from the disaster led to the cancellation of several national gay and lesbian conferences, as well as the U.S. Conference on AIDS planned for Miami, Florida.
Gays and lesbians nationwide have joined relief efforts in the wake of the disaster, but gay men are barred from answering the many calls for blood donations. Despite widespread blood shortages even before this week's events, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration continues to prohibit donations from any man who's had sex with another man since 1977. This 1985 standard has increasingly been criticized, as methods for testing blood for HIV have improved. The same standard is recommended globally by the World Health Organization, although, at least in Canada, gay men can make posthumous organ donations.
Although primary elections in New York City were rescheduled, voters went to the polls in Massachusetts and Arizona. Openly lesbian Massachusetts State Senator Cheryl Jakes was easily defeated in her bid for the Democratic nomination for a seat in the U.S. Congress. Despite endorsements from the powerful Boston Globe newspaper and gay and lesbian political organizations, she came in second in a field of four, trailing more conservative state senator Stephen Lynch by more than 10%.
Although sexual orientation was not a significant issue in Jake's race, it was in the effort to recall Tempe, Arizona's openly gay Republican four-term mayor Neil Giuliano. The recall move was sparked by Giuliano's opposition to city workers' payroll deductions supporting the Boy Scouts of America, which has a policy of excluding gays. The recall attempt moved ahead even after Giuliano bowed to the Tempe City Council's unanimous support for the Scouts fund drive. Giuliano's opponents criticized his expenditures on a number of large local projects, but his supporters insisted the recall campaign was driven by homophobia. Voters retained Giuliano by a margin of more than 2-1.
Some other open gays in the U.S. are campaigning for high offices. Openly gay North Carolina Superior Court Judge Ray Warren has declared his candidacy for the U.S. Senate seat arch-homophobe Jesse Helms will vacate after 2002. Warren, once one of the state's leading Republicans, moved to the Democratic Party not long after publicly coming out as a gay man in 1998.
Openly gay Democrat Colton Cornett has declared his candidacy to represent a Tennessee district in the U.S. Congress.
Florida's Republican Governor Jeb Bush has an unlikely challenger in longtime gay activist Bob Kunst, who's seeking the Democratic nomination with a focus on the governor's role in the election machinations that gave his brother, George W. Bush, the U.S. presidency.
Meanwhile, President Bush has made his administration's second appointment of an openly gay Republican. Donald Capocia has been named to a seat on the U.S. Commission on Fine Arts, an unpaid position on a body which advises the government on architectural issues.
One possible Democratic opponent for President Bush in 2002 could be non-gay Vermont Governor Howard Dean, who said he will not seek another term as governor. Dean signed into law the controversial civil unions extending the state-level benefits of marriage to gay and lesbian couples and continued his support for those unions in the face of intense political opposition.
California's Democratic Governor Gray Davis must now decide the future of his state's gay and lesbian couples. A bill to give some real legal weight to the state's now largely ceremonial registered domestic partnerships passed the California Senate this week by 23-11. The state assembly had already passed the bill, introduced by openly lesbian San Francisco Democratic Assembly member Carol Migden, and this week concurred with the Senate on a final version to send to the governor. The bill would confer legal standing to partners in areas including health care decisions, health insurance coverage, health care tax exemptions, family leave, disability and unemployment benefits, conservatorship, inheritance, and wrongful death lawsuits. Although it was Davis who signed the Domestic Partners Registry into law and is said to favor the current bill, he vetoed domestic partners bills the state legislature approved last year, the year that voters gave landslide approval to a constitutional amendment restricting legal marriage to one man and one woman. And although this month he signed a bill requiring insurers to pay benefits to victims of hate crimes, he is currently opposing two measures supported by AIDS activists. The religious right is lobbying hard against the domestic partners bill.
A growing number of U.S. gay and lesbian couples are applying to emigrate to Canada, where they have most of the legal rights and responsibilities of married couples. The Toronto Sun has labeled this phenomenon gay drain to parallel the so-called brain drain of talented Canadians to better-paying jobs in the U.S. Canada is welcoming most of the U.S. same-gender couples whose applications have come to outnumber unmarried heterosexual couples by nearly 7-1.
In Britain, the City Council of Brighton and Hove has agreed to establish partnership registries. Last week, London officially registered gay and lesbian couples for the first time in the UK, and Manchester has already moved to follow suit. The Brighton and Hove Council was unanimous in agreeing to the Liberal Democrats' proposal, and in October will begin to discuss how to implement its registry.
The executive body of the European Union this week considered asylum for gays and lesbians fleeing homophobic violence in their homelands. A proposal before the European Commission would amend the EU's formal definition of refugees to include those persecuted on the basis of their sexual orientation or gender. The Commission has found that most of the 15 EU member nations are already granting asylum to those who are denied protection by their governments from persecution at the hands of their fellow citizens.
And finally, one open lesbian who's experienced past difficulties in crossing borders is Canadian singer Lucy Blue Tremblay. She's been raising funds to help some young gays and lesbians rejected by their families stay where they are, in college. This week, Bridgewater State College near Boston, Massachusetts, announced the Frank Tremblay Safe Colleges Scholarships, the first of which will be awarded next year. Tremblay's scholarship co-star is openly gay Democratic U.S. Congressmember Barney Frank, who represents Bridgewater's district. The pioneering program will specifically help with tuition for those Bridgewater students whose parents cut them off financially after learning they are gay or lesbian. The college hopes to bring the fund up to $10,000, with $8,200 already in hand.
That's News Wrap for the week ending September 15th, 2001. Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Cindy Friedman and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles. For This Way Out, I'm Brian Nunes.
And I'm Cindy Friedman.
In a troubled world, music has magical charms, so stay tuned to sample some of the latest scintillating sounds from lesbian and gay performers later in the program. Inappropriate, irresponsible, loathsome, beyond contempt. Those were just some of the words used to describe the comments of two icons of the religious right in response to the disastrous September 11th terrorist attacks on New York City and Washington, D.C. This Way Out's Lucia Chappelle reviews the comments in question and gets reactions from some other men of faith.
People around the world were still reeling, and many were looking for inspiration and hope from spiritual leaders when Christian Broadcasting Network founder Pat Robertson hit the airwaves on September 13th with the Reverend Jerry Falwell as his guest on the 700 Club. Robertson, a former Republican presidential candidate, had already issued a written statement proclaiming that progressive political achievements had lost America its divine protection. Those sentiments were echoed in a prayer he delivered during the broadcast.
We have sinned against Almighty God. At the highest level of our government, we've stuck our finger in your eye. The Supreme Court has insulted you over and over again, Lord. They've taken your Bible away from the schools. They've forbidden little children to pray. They've taken the knowledge of God as best they can, and organizations have come into court to take the knowledge of God out of the public square of America.
Later, Robertson was joined by fellow televangelist Falwell, the Baptist pastor who gained notoriety as founder of the Moral Majority in the mid-1970s and who has been a leading exponent of anti-gay and lesbian rhetoric ever since.
I agree totally with you that the Lord has protected us so wonderfully these 225 years. And since 1812, this is the first time that we've been attacked on our soil. And I fear, as Donald Rumsfeld, the Secretary of Defense, said yesterday, that this is only the beginning, and with biological warfare available to these monsters, the Husseins, the Bin Ladens, the Arafats, what we saw on Tuesday, as terrible as it is, could be minuscule if in fact God continues to lift the curtain and allow the enemies of America to give us probably what we deserve.
Well, Jerry, that's my feeling. I think we've just seen the antechamber to terror. We haven't even begun to see what they can do to the major population.
The ACLU has got to take a lot of blame for this.
Oh, yeah.
And I know I'll hear from them for this, but throwing God off successfully with the help of the federal court system, throwing God out of the public square, out of the schools, the abortionists have got to bear some burden for this because God will not be mocked, and when we destroy 40 million little innocent babies, we make God mad. I really believe that the pagans and the abortionists and the feminists and the gays and the lesbians who are actively trying to make that an alternative lifestyle, the ACLU, People for the American Way, all of them who tried to secularize America, I point the finger in their face and say, you helped this happen.
Well, I totally concur, and the problem is we have adopted that agenda at the highest levels of our government, and so we're responsible as a free society for what the top people do, and the top people, of course, the court system.
Amen. Pat, did you notice yesterday?
Yes.
The ACLU and all the Christ haters, the American People for the American Way, NOW, et cetera, were totally disregarded by the Democrats and the Republicans in both houses of Congress as they went out on the steps and called out to God in prayer and sang God Bless America and said, let the ACLU be hanged. In other words, when the nation is on its knees, the only normal and natural and spiritual thing to do is what we ought to be doing, and all the time calling upon God.
Amen.
Responses from the accused culprits were as could be expected. The ACLU said it chose not to dignify the Falwell-Robertson remarks with a comment. People for the American Way said the preachers had chosen the path of division rather than unity. The Gay and Lesbian Human Rights Campaign called the discussion irresponsible at best and a deliberate attempt to manipulate the nation's anger at worst. And a White House official found it necessary to go on record saying that President Bush does not share those views. The Reverend Elder Troy Perry, founder and moderator of the predominantly lesbian and gay Universal Fellowship of Metropolitan Community Churches, found the remarks unconscionable.
I just don't know what was on Mr. Falwell's mind when he made the comments, but all of us, every American, has suffered.
In October of 1999, the Reverend Mel White, Falwell's gay former ghostwriter, led a delegation of gay and lesbian Christians from his group Soul Force, who met with Falwell and a group of his followers. Their aim was to get Falwell to tone down his homophobic rhetoric. White says that although the results of that summit have been less than satisfactory, the failure has a silver lining.
On one hand, this extremist language always helps our cause in alienating him from the general public and in distancing him from civilized society. On the other hand, it's frightening in that Jerry Falwell doesn't say things that he doesn't believe. And because he is a fundamentalist Christian, not unlike Osama bin Laden is a fundamentalist Muslim, fundamentalism believes that it's called to redeem a nation by eliminating those things which they find alien or evil. And Falwell, in taking this stand, even though he's apologized for saying it, he really means it. He really believes that unless gays and lesbians and these feminists and these abortionists and these pagans are not eliminated, that the country can't be saved. And that makes it all the more important for us to take them seriously and to demonstrate to them the seriousness of the error of their ways.
Robertson flatly denied that any guest on his program suggested that anyone other than the Middle East terrorists were responsible for the tragic events. Falwell complained that his remarks had been taken out of context and told CNN, "I would never blame any human being except the terrorists, and if I left that impression with gays or lesbians or anyone else, I apologize."
Well, he certainly offended a member of our church in New York City who is in a coma.
Again, Reverend Troy Perry.
Who has burned over 50% of her body, who leaves a lover and a wonderful group of children. He should ask forgiveness of Tommy Scarangelli, a police officer who is a member of our church in New York, who immediately ran down to the World Trade Center and has volunteered over and over again. His other half, Omar Saras. Omar worked in a restaurant on the top of the World Trade Center. He's lost hundreds of friends and co-workers that worked in that restaurant. He needs to apologize to all Americans for how much hurt this attack has brought on us, and to, in any manner, try to put women who believe in a choice, religious groups such as pagans and Christians such as Metropolitan Community Church. I call for him to do more than apologize. I hope that he'll repent of what he did.
To that end, Reverend White plans to continue his campaign to reach Falwell.
We are going to go back to Falwell, and we're going to bring an intolerance museum that demonstrates what he says in print and in media, radio, and television to his community, and try to isolate and alienate even further. Once we give up on a person, then our only option is violence. We're working through his people, trying to get through to him. We're offering to bring in some of the great conservative theologians and Bible scholars who can say to him, Jerry, you've gone berserk. But whether he'll meet with us or not, we just have to keep trying. By the way, in trying to get through to him, we get through to a lot of people who are around him, and we get a lot of people who are just kind of victims of him. And we get through to a lot of gay people on his campus and in his and in his organization. By standing up to them, we give them hope. I'm hoping also that the media will hear him say these things and won't be quite so quick to use him, like Larry King and Geraldo and Nightline use him all the time. But the more extreme he sounds, the less they're going to use him. I'm hoping this will place him beyond the pale, so to speak. When the president's calling for unity and Falwell says something like this, I don't think the president will invite him to the White House again, do you? I mean, he's done us a lot of good and himself a lot of bad.
That was Reverend Mel White of Soul Force, and I'm Lucia Chappell for This Way Out.
There's too much hate between the sacred and the queer.
I'm Ellen DeGeneres, and you're listening to This Way Out, the Gay and Lesbian International News Magazine.
Thank you.
That was without cue cards, people.
As we open up this month's audio file, you'll meet the toughest girl alive, settle in with a gay southerner right where he is, and take off with a jazz singer whose destination is the moon.
On my rocket ship, we'll have a lovely afternoon. Kiss the world goodbye, and away we'll fly. Destination moon, we'll travel fast as light till we're out of sight. The earth will be like a toy balloon. What a thrill you'll get riding on my jet. Destination moon.
I always have a hard time trying to figure out how to categorize my music. I think, especially recently, it falls most easily into sort of a pop jazz style of music. It's listenable jazz, blues influence. Does that give you an idea? It's not folk, it's not country.
Sway brings her own style of sophisticated pop jazz to her third solo album, On the Day We Met. Hi, I'm J.D. Doyle.
I'm Chris Wilson, and you're listening to Audiophile. Swade's been described as a cross between Ella Fitzgerald and Bette Midler. Throw in a dash of naughty blues, and this CD of both new songs and standards is sure to please.
Hit it, Ben.
Some folks are built like this, some folks are built like that. The way I'm built, now don't you call me fat, because I'm built for comfort. Ain't built for speed. And I got everything that a good woman needs.
Find out more about Suede and her CD, On the Day We Met, at www.suedewave.com. That's SUEDEWAVE.com.
There's a real southern thread that runs through all of my music. It's a very acoustic-based, slightly gritty sound, very lyric-driven songs that tell a story, songs that hopefully reflect universal human emotions.
Marcus Hutchison has traveled from his native Alabama to Nashville and now to New York City. So the title of his debut CD, Right Where I Am, is fitting.
Right where I am is where I want to be. Right where I am is where I want to be. Being with you, baby, is helping me see. Right where I am is where I want to be.
Hutchinson's music reflects his Southern roots and his journey through loneliness, discovery, and joy.
Open the door, turn the key ever so slowly. You have no idea of the world that awaits you. Open the door, you gotta reach for the light and the lonely. Hope will always see you through.
You can find out more about Marcus Hutchison and his CD, Right Where I Am, at www.marcushutchison.com. That's MarcusHutchison.com.
I'm the toughest girl alive. I walked through the fire, but I survived. I've been beat up, burned up, pushed around, but they just can't keep me down. Kicked out, messed around, but they just can't keep me down.
Openly bisexual artist Candy Kane has come from being an adult film performer to a highly respected blues singer. Her fifth CD is called I'm the Toughest Girl Alive.
My style is sort of a mixture of old-timey blues and swing, but it's my own quirky brand of burlesque that makes it have its twisted element. I mean, I've heard people call my show like a revival meeting in the parking lot of an X-rated bookstore, and I think that's fairly accurate.
And Candy Kane brings her own out lyrics to her blues and swing songs.
Hey, mister, you sure look cute. Greasy hair and that slick suit suit. The one I want is by your side. She was my baby last night. Hey, mister, you sure can glide across that dance floor smooth and wide. There's some moves you haven't tried. She was my baby last night.
Check out Candy Kane's website for more info on her CD, I'm the Toughest Girl Alive, at www.candykane.com. That's CandyKane.com.
And that's it for this edition of Audiophile. You can write to us at Post Office Box 429, Sunland, California, 91041, or online at info@audiophile.org. That's info@audiophile.org.
Audiophile is produced by J.D. Doyle, Chris Wilson, and Christopher David Trenton. This is J.D. Doyle.
And I'm Chris Wilson. Keep listening.
Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. This week, Cindy Friedman, Brian Nunes, Graham Underhill, Chris Ambidge, Jason Lynn, Rex Walkner, and Chris Wilson, J.D. Doyle, and Christopher David Trentum contributed program material. Thanks also to Steve Pride. Jalen Ricks performed Down at Stonewall, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can listen to This Way Out anytime online, exclusively on Planet Out. Just point your browser to www.planetout.com and click first on Multimedia, then on Radio. Some This Way Out operating expenses are funded through direct charitable donations from our listeners around the world. For an urgent message about This Way Out's critical financial situation, please visit our webpage at thiswayout.org, email us at tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and the entire This Way Out family, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on 4CCR Cairns, Queensland, KRZA Alamosa, Colorado, WEOS Geneva, New York, and more than 125 other stations around the world, including this local community radio station. We're all in this together, and we're all staying tuned.